communicate and communicate here with God this morning. We do that every day of our life, not just the church and the moon. But Robbie was talking about how our animals and people are different. And the aspect in which we are different is that we have a soul. If you think about the verses of that song, "Dear Lord, do I lift up my soul?" When you're giving something to someone, you take that thing in your hands and you lift it up to them. And so God, that verse is saying, I take that spiritual capacity that you have placed within me, and I give it to you. I'm offering God my devotion, my heart, my soul. He says at the end of that, let not thine enemies triumph. Let not thine enemies triumph. Started this morning with the life and times of Gideon. And Gideon was really wrestling with lifting up his soul to God. He felt weak and he felt incapacitated. And God said, go in the strength that I've given you, and you will be victorious. And so I was blessed by that song we just sang. You know, no one knows that I'm preaching about Gideon this morning, but it really fits well with what we're going to talk about here. So I'd like you to turn to Judges chapter 6. We're going to start here. I think I'm actually going to do two sermons. I was going to do one, but as I finished studying this morning, I decided to take it into two pieces. So the life and times of Gideon, a valiant warrior of God. So we break into this story of Israel at a time when they were just at one of their lowest points. They had conquered the land, but when they finished conquering the land, they never quite went back through it and mopped up, so to speak. They didn't go back through, and they had left little pockets of resistance and places that the Canaanites were in the land, and they did not utterly destroy the Canaanites. And so there was trouble from around about them and in them. So these people that were left in the land around them became a plague to the people of Israel. And they drew them away from God. So I'm going to begin reading here with verses 1 through 6. Judges chapter 6, 1 through 6. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, because the Midianites and the children of Israel made them dens which were in the mountains and the caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they attacked against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came up as grasshoppers from off the tuba. Both they and their camels were without number. They entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, the children of Israel, cried unto the Lord. So, as I said before, we're at a low point in the Judges period of history, where Israel was cycling through times of following God, and then they go through times they followed idols, and God would bring judgment upon them to bring them back to himself. The aggression was from three specific groups of people. One was the Midianites, who were allies with the Amalekites, and it says also the people from the east. And it is believed that they were from that area of Mesopotamia, what they call the Fertile Crescent. So there was masses of people coming over, and these tribes of Midianites and Amalekites generally were not terribly organized. They were more guerrillas and nomadic people. The reason they couldn't be numbered is because they were such a disorganized group of people. It wasn't that they were that masses of people. But it says they did come up like grasshoppers, and they just moved to the land randomly and in terror, taking everything. It says whenever the Israelites planted crops, as soon as they were ripe, or even before they were ripe, the Midianites would come and just take everything. And it says they left the Israelites with nothing. They were greatly impoverished. They took their sheep, they took their cattle, they took their donkeys. There was nothing left for Israel to sustain itself. And so these people were pretty much starving. from one land of the earth, from one land to the end of the land of the earth, all the way from Gaza to Dan, from one end of the north to the south, it was broken. So Israel cries out to God. Israel says, You have left us. If you go on, let's go on verse 7. It says, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, sons of them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have brought you from Egypt, and I have brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you the land, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but yet not obeyed my voice. There are people in the Bible that stand out to us. There are people among us who stand out, and other people who are almost not named. Did you ever know that in the story of Gideon, there's a prophet who is not named? This is a prophet who said, you're not obeying the voice of God. Israel cried out to God in the middle of this problem, and God sent them a prophet. And he's not even named in Scripture. There's just a couple of verses here that says he was there, and he called them out and said, you're not obeying God. They didn't pay any attention. That's all the mention this guy gets. He's not listening in Hebrews chapter 11, where it would be in it. But there was a prophet here. Sometimes God calls us out to be something, to do something that we just don't get any notice about. And that's okay. That's okay. There are people in the Bible who stand out, and we see them. There's other people in the Bible who are doing just what God asked them to do, and do them in their name, to the prophet. And so there's a lot of insignificant people that God uses in the Bible. I think that's part of this story. Gideon, God uses these hard times to get us. Lesson one is God uses our hard times to teach us. God uses tough things that we go through in life to get our attention, and not to punish us, but to teach us a lesson, to teach us things that he wants to change in our lives, to sanctify us, to develop us, to grow us. When everything is easy, we tend to forget God. And God had forecasted, God had told, forecasted, prophesied, that when Israel comes into the land, and everything's easy, and they've got all the things they need, and they've got houses built for themselves, he said, then beware lest you forget the God who brought you out of Egypt. God had warned them that when things get easy, they're going to forget God. So as we go through life and we run into trials and temptations, let's not see them as a punishment, but rather as a gift of grace that God is using to make us more like himself, to make us more like Jesus. He wants us to keep growing, to keep changing, to developing into the person that he has designed us to be. All of the troubles, all of the problems, all of the things that we face in life are designed by God to grow us more into what he wants us to be. Someone has said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, he speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. When we have pleasure, we kind of accept that with gratitude, may not even always be gratitude, we just say that's cool, and we like that. But when pain gets a hold of us, really gets our attention. Pain is God's telephone to rouse a deaf world. Lesson number two. God sees the best in everyone. God sees the best in everyone. So, let's move on here to verse 11. And let's meet Gideon. It says, and there came an angel of the Lord that sat under the oak that was in Ophrah. That pertained unto Joash, Abiah's right, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now I always thought, in my opinion, I suppose, that the reason he was threshing wheat in the wine press is because the Midianites had stolen all the wheat threshing machines. And so I'm studying this and saying, so what's so amazing about crushing wheat and wine press? Well, the difference is that there really was no wheat crushing machine like we have today. What they basically did is they took a hard piece of ground, a high point, a hill, and what they would do is they would beat the grain, and then they would shovel it up into the air, and it would, the wind would, from the top of the hill would blow the chaff away, and the wheat kernels would be left there, and they would scoop them up another day. So when you were threshing wheat, you were on a high point that was easily visible. Alright? The wine press was the opposite. They would dig a hole into a rock. They would carve out a rock, a depression, and then they would put the grapes in there, and then they would go in there and stomp around and mash the grapes up. And so this was a hole in the ground. So when you're trying to thresh wheat, you don't do it in a hole in the ground. It's not like they were so impoverished they no longer had any places. It's just that it was hiding. He was hiding from the Midianites. He was trying to thresh out a little wheat for his family and not get it stolen by the time he gets it finished. And so, this is not the picture of a valiant warrior who isn't afraid of anything. He is hiding. He is struggling in frustration, because this has to be a really frustrating battle. What do? You gamble with your fan, brother Jeff. How do you separate? This had to be a very frustrating experience for Gideon to try and thresh wheat in a wine press. It just doesn't work. So God comes to him, or the angel of the Lord doesn't. I was trying to figure out the times here if it was God Himself or Jesus in the flesh. It says an angel of the Lord, but then later on it says, and the Lord said unto him. So it seems that as Gideon gets down to the end, he almost feels that he was talking to God. So I don't know if this is an angel from God or if it's God in the form of an angel. But at any rate, he says, the Lord is with you, the mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like turning around to see if there's somebody else he's talking to. Because he doesn't feel like a mighty man of valor. He doesn't feel like he's some incredible person. And he goes on to say, I'm not an incredible person. I'm from the tribe of Manasseh. And when you go into the history of Israel and you study the great things that the different tribes did, you hear of Judah, and you hear of Ephraim, and you hear of Issachar maybe, and there are some other prominent tribes, but not Manasseh. Manasseh is not one of the great tribes of Israel. It's big. It was one of the largest in number. But it wasn't an influential tribe. And he says, in this mass of Manassehites, we're a very poor family. And so when it comes to people looking at me to rescue our nation, they're not looking at me. And in my father's house, I'm the least of all my brothers. Gideon was the least picked up in terms of persons. He'd say, this man is going to lead the nation. That's not who Gideon was. So God comes to Gideon and he says to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. God is seeing Gideon as he knows Gideon can be, not as Gideon is. He's seeing Gideon for what he wants him to be and what he's going to help him become, not for what Gideon is right now. I believe that Gideon had been trying. We talked about Israel being followers of Baal. They're following Baal. They're not caring about God. Suddenly, Gideon had tried to follow God. In the middle of all the persons and families that turned away, I believe Gideon was trying to follow God. But even now, as this oppression is going on and there's nothing left, he's growing discouraged. He even seems a little frustrated and forsaken by God. Because he says, verse 13, and Gideon says unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen unto us? And where are the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. He's saying, if you're really with us, why has all this happened? If you're really with us, where are the miracles of the past? If you're really with us, where's the God that delivers us out of Egypt? So he feels a little bit abandoned by God. And so I ask us today, where are you today? Have you felt like God is hiding? Have you ever asked yourself, why has God abandoned me? So these are very strange words that Gideon hears. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. God uses people even when they feel insignificant. When you feel that you are at the bottom of the wine press, threshing wheat, and life isn't very good, remember these words. I have written down 7 verses that we should be thinking about as we come to tough points in life when we feel like we're at the bottom of the wine press and we think that God has abandoned us. So I'm just going to read them. Listen, I'm going to look them up. John chapter 1 verse 12 says this: "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Sons of God, you are the child of God. John 15:15. "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all the things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. In the middle of your pain, you are the friend of God. He is your friend. He has called you his friend." Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship." He's working in us. He's growing us. He's changing us. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." God is working in you today. You are one of his masterpieces that he has created. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You have been forgiven to justify. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Gideon was trying to walk after God. And there is no condemnation, there is no condemnation of sin to those who are walking after Christ, who are seeking to walk as they ought to. And then Ephesians 1:5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, you are adopted into his family. He has a good will for you. The things that are happening in your life are happening as he has a good will for you. He is planning this, and it is for your benefit. Then I think I read these verses the last time I preached, Romans 8:35-39, which is one of my favorite verses in the scripture. I'm going to read all of that. But it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" And then it goes through and talks about all these different things that are there, and the answer is nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can take us away. God's love will always reach through. We can never be separated from the love of God. He loves us no matter where we find ourselves. We find weakness, but God's love reaches through us. As he did with Gideon, he will keep calling you, keep working on you, until you see that your true identity in yourself, just as he sees you. God works in imperfect people. And God sees you different than you see yourself sometimes. Lesson number 3. God confirms his presence. God confirms his priorities with his presence. God confirms the things that he wants to do by being present. Verses 13-24, let's read those verses. In chapter 6. Here is the time when Gideon is beginning to wrestle with what's going on and questioning. Verse 13, and Gideon says, "O my Lord God, if the Lord be with us, why then is this army fallen? Where be the fear for your fathers, which told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked on him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. He said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and said it before thee. He said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in a day and did 11 cakes of pure flour and flesh, and put in a basket and filled the broth and pot, and brought it out to him under a tent. And the angel of God said to him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon the rock and pour out the broth. And so he did. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar unto the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom, to this day the seven holy of Israel. So here we have a section where we're talking he says, surely I will be with you. He's told to go in the strength that he has. He didn't make him, Gideon didn't walk from this period, from this point, and suddenly realize he is a mighty man. He said, go in the strength that you have. He was asked to step out in a moment of faith. Gideon was pretty sure that he was no one. But in verse 16, he says, surely I will be there, I will be with you, and you will strike down Midian as if it was one man. Midian was this incredible group of people, and God tells Gideon that you will strike down Midian as though it is one man, as though you are one man striking the rest. So now that he has Gideon's attention, Gideon says, if I'm really talking with an angel of God, will you give me a sign? I'm not sure about this next part. I don't quite understand what's going on. It's like he says, I'm talking to an angel. I guess I should eat him. So I don't know if there's something in their context or in the hospitality context that makes sense there. But if we know that God is a spirit, that confused me as to why Gideon said, well, let's go next to this guy. I don't know if he was, what he's checking. But he says, wait, and I'm going to present something to you. And the angel says, yes, I will wait for you. And so he goes and he makes these cakes, and he roasts a kid, a baby goat, and he brings it out, and the angel says, place it on the rock. And then he touches it with his staff, and this whole thing just flames up and burns it all to nothing. And so I would think that if we were Gideon, and you place food on a rock, and someone touches it with a stick, and it burns, there will be some qualification that this person is not just a normal human being. He had asked for a confirming that it is God who was talking with him. God's priority is confirmed by his presence. Gideon was asking for a personal encounter with God. There are times that God asks us to do some things that we think are pretty difficult. There can be lots of different things in life. But God asks us to trust him. God asks us to go with him. And to trust him as we face the difficult things. And if we ask for God to make himself known to us, I believe that he will. God doesn't ask us to do harsh things that are beyond our abilities and not give us the way to do that. God will confirm himself to us. He promises to go with us in the strength that we have. Because the proof is that it isn't Gideon who's going to do the work. It isn't Gideon who is the mighty man of valor. It's God working through Gideon that makes him this mighty man of valor. We should realize that God does ask us to do things that are bigger than ourselves. When we're faced with a task that is bigger than us, and say, I can't do that. Well, that's a human response. And that's not a good reason not to do what God is asking us to do. It might be forgiving someone who we think we can't forgive. It might be stepping out and doing something unusual we've never done before. I have no idea what it is that we face. We all face different things that are difficult. We have personalities, and so I have personality strength. And some things are easier for me than they are for other people. Those things that you can do that are easy for you are difficult for me. And so the things that we face in life that are difficult are going to be different for each one of us. And God sometimes takes the things that are easy for us, and He says, God, I don't care, I'd like to develop you this way. And He asks us to do something that we really don't want to do. We actually feel I'm not qualified to do that. And God says, know your strength that I've given you, and I'm going to be with you. His assurance of His ability to do this job is that I'm going to be with you. And then, so Gideon sees this example, and he's ready to go at it. And then he ain't gonna leave. So Gideon goes to bed that night, and God is talking to him as we go on to the next verses, 25 through 32. I don't know how God talked to him, but God spoke to him. He says, the next lesson is that private faithfulness in my life is a prerequisite for God being able to use me in this kingdom. There must be an inner purity, an inner strength, and the devotion to God before God can truly use me. And so this next section talks to us about how God speaks to him in the night. He says, you know, that altar to Baal out in your family's backyard is a problem. If you're going to be my agent today, you're going to have to get rid of that altar. And he lays this on Gideon's heart. He's going to have to destroy that family altar. And I don't know what all that altar was, but he goes out in the night because he's afraid of what the townspeople are going to think. And he tears down that altar. And God specifically told him to take his father's prize bull and kill it and sacrifice it on the wood of the altar that was torn down. So Gideon gets a couple of young men around him with him, and he goes out in the night, and he takes this altar of Baal, and pulls it down, sacrifices the bull, and this prize bull in his own backyard, and in the morning, his family and friends are not impressed. They're saying, who did this? And it's never going to get into the one who did it. But God was testing him. He was telling him that if you're going to be my man, you're going to have to be all the way from him. He asked him to tear down that idol. This is the question for us today. Is there any idols that we need to tear down? It is time to knock down and tear down idols that we have allowed to grow in our hearts if we're going to be God's people. God wants to use Gideon, but first he has to cleanse his own household. The last lesson is lesson 5. God is patient with our growth, even when at times it is slow and meager. So we just saw Kate and Kid run up the rock miraculously. Unless that was a fire stick that he stuck down there. There was no way that food was going to burn. It was a normal walking stick, and the food burned. God is patient with our growth, even when at times it is slow. Gideon is still doubting. Gideon here is the doubting Thomas in the Old Testament. He is questioning God. Is it really going to work the way you say it is? Just not sure. Let's turn to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, we have doubting Thomas. If you ever doubt God when God calls you out, if you ever doubt that God can help you do what he wants you to do, then we walk through these moments when we're just not sure. In John chapter 1, we all know about Thomas. He wasn't there. And he makes this statement, unless I see the nails, if I touch the nails and I can put my hand at his side, I will not believe, he says. John chapter 20, 24 through 28. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see the hands, in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas said to them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. And he said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. I am blessed by Jesus' willingness to embrace his doubt. There's times in our life we struggle. There's times in our life where we're just not sure that we really can take that next step. And here's Gideon, asked to do this tall task. And he's had already some evidences, and he's still doubting. But God is very patient with him, as God was very patient with Thomas. And God will be very patient with us as well. Back to Judges chapter 6. Let's read this section about the testimony, please. 33. And all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Abiezrites was gathered unto him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who was also gathered unto Ephraim, and he sent messengers unto Asher, and to Zebulun, and to Naphtali, and the king of Judah. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save us with thy mine hand, as in us, behold, I will put a fleece of corn before him. And if the dew be upon the fleece only, and if he drive upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save us with thy mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he arose up early in the morning, and thrust the fleece through together, and wring the dew out of the fleece and mold it with water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thy anger be hot against me. And I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the peace. Lest it be, let it be dry now upon the peace, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the peace, only and there was dew upon all the ground. I don't know what you think in your mind, but I know there's been times that I have wrestled with God and maybe put God through some tests that I shouldn't have, and I should be a little bit more by faith and believing. But I have experienced that God will meet me even when I doubt. I have experienced that God will be there and listen to us. Remember Abraham talking with God about the number of righteous people? When you read this here, he says, please don't be angry with me. Just let me do this one more time. Doesn't that remind you of Abraham back when he was talking with God about the number of faithful people in Sodom and Gomorrah? He's saying, how many people would you have to split a city? This many. And he says, let not God be angry with me. We have a very patient God. I'm amazed at how patient God is with us. Sometimes we are needing to learn a lesson in patience from God. We cut each other off pretty fast in regard to the way people don't grow or we think they ought to grow. And God is so patient with us. It's amazing. That we are so impatient with each other. God is far more patient with our growing towards him in little teeny steps than what we could imagine. God wants us to be moving forward step by step, faith by faith, change by change. And it isn't so much where you are right now, but the forward steps that you are taking that God wants to see in our lives. God wants to see us progressing. Where are you going? From life change to life change. And God takes us through these situations that Gideon found himself in because he was working in Gideon's life. He was taking this man who was weak and scared and frustrated and losing his faith down to the bottom of the land rest. He's almost depressed. And God says, I'm going to take you. Go in the strength that you have, in the weakness that you are right now. You, I'm going to use to deliver Israel from Midian. Incredible lesson of faith that God has for us here. Gideon was a man of faith. God wants to use each one of us. He wants us to grow in our faith. And that's what I want us to get this morning. We aren't going to go into the bow down at that time. But I just want us to see that no matter how you feel about yourself, no matter what you think your insignificance is on, remember that Gideon was, his family was weak in Manasseh. He was poor and he was small. And there was not very much about them that was noticing, but God used them in an incredible way to defeat and to deliver Israel. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. If you turn with me, I'm going to read from 32 to the end of the chapter into chapter 12. In closing, heroes of faith, Hebrews 11, verse 32, and what would I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. You can remember the stories that are being referenced here. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. We watched valiant in the fight. He turned to flight the army of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. They were tempted, and they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something, some better thing for us, that they without it should not have been worthy. As we read those passages and we think about the things that are said there, the way of God, the way that God asks us to walk, is not always an easy walk. It's pretty torturous. You think about all those things that these people went through, that's not a good picture. But the call is for us to go on. The call is for us to be people of faith. And we're supposed to look at the crowd of witnesses around us, not just here in the Bible, but in our families and in our generations before us. There are clouds of witnesses who have lived well before us. Wherefore, seeing we also have passed great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm called out myself. I feel blessed to be in a cloud of witnesses, and I am encouraged by the story of Gideon. Go on when things are rough. God uses things in it. So let's walk faith and let God use that to help in our lives to grow us. That's right. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word this morning. For the challenges of faith that you have laid out in these various lives of the people that have gone before us, whether not here in our day or back in the days of the scriptures. Thank you for Gideon and for his courage. Pray that you would help each of us when we find ourselves in the bottom of the wine press. We have to look up, see your hand leading us on. Pray that you would help us to go with faith and the strength that we have. Come to the Lord.